We left off on page three, right at the top, right at the top. This is a refresher. The Hebrew word for glory is what? Kavod. Kavod. And it means honor, but the root word of kavod means weightiness. Weightiness. I love that word, weightiness. All who God is. And it's interesting because after we had our last class that I was here before I left, but I met with the women's leaders for Tuesday morning, and one of the leaders was talking about how there seems to be a heaviness among her ladies who are meeting every Tuesday, a real heaviness because of what's going on in the world. That's what she was mentioning. And I said, you know what? And I started smiling because I thought of the meaning of kavod, meaning weightiness. Here we've got heaviness in the world. Look at who God is. And it's described, he is described as having weightiness, all his attributes, all his nature, his reputation, who he is, that he always reveals, God always reveals throughout the Bible who he is, and he always provides the way to himself. And I was talking with my friend before coming to class today and mentioning that Michelle was going to be talking about the Ark visit and how our class on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about, actually it's labeled, the lesson is labeled, Why a Catastrophic Flood? You know, do you hear comments like that from people? What is this? Why would God do that? And who gets slammed? God gets slammed. So when you have the background of the glory of God, who he is, when you can get that down pat as much as we can in this world, prior to our, you know, going to heaven and be knowing as we've been known, okay, when we get to heaven, then it's so important for us to dive into scripture and say, yes, God, you had a reason. Yes, God, you are a just God. Yes, God, you commanded this flood and there was purpose to it. So we continue to look at all who God is in our study of the glory of God. And we know that his attributes, what are they? They are the essential qualities that make him God, that are he needs to have as God. Okay? I find, too, in talking about the glory of God or explaining him, my words fall flat many times, you know, and I'm thinking that's no way to express who God is. So bear with me, and we'll dive into, in the time that we have remaining today, the attributes. I want to have your eyes check out what is underscored just below the middle section of page three, because this helped me tremendously, and it was mentioned, and I read about it last year during our session on the major and minor prophets. All God's attributes exist and operate simultaneously at all times, at every moment throughout eternity. That's a mouthful, but have you ever had somebody come up and said to you, why is the God of the Old Testament so full of wrath? And we don't see that. In the New Testament, we see the God of love. So you know what you need to tell them? All God's attributes exist and operate simultaneously at all times, at every moment throughout eternity. In other words, God doesn't change. You could use Malachi 3:6 to make it simpler, perhaps. But I love that all God's attributes exist and operate simultaneously at all times, at every moment throughout eternity. And at the cross, we see God's love. The cross is such a prime example. We see God's love and his justice operating simultaneously, because God's righteous demands were met at the cross. God demanded death for sin, and so Jesus, because of his love, died to pay the penalty for our sin. And that is a great way of wrapping up a conversation or continuing or beginning a conversation with someone who is not too happy with God's wrath in the Old Testament. So, two, I have written down in page 3, when a person asks, why is God so wrathful in the Old Testament? I have asked the person posing that question, do you believe in one God or more than one God? Okay? And always ask it sweetly. Don't use a New York accent. Okay? Ask it sweetly. And if they respond with, I believe in one God, tell that person the Bible teaches that God does not change, as I mentioned, Malachi 3:6. And if they insist that God is totally, like, only wrathful in the Old Testament, ask them what you do then with Exodus 34, verses 4 to 7, which is right at the end of page 3. It tells us that Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai. This is after Moses had already thrown the tablets to the ground when the golden calf episode was going on down below. But so God told him to bring tablets back up to the Mount Sinai. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Okay? And then we read what God says. Well, first we read, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, who God is. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. This is God speaking of himself. Long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This is who our God is, and this is what he is stating in himself to Moses. So I pray that that will be embedded in our minds as we get asked these questions that really stem from a foundational misunderstanding of the text of Scripture. And foundation, as Michelle had said, is so important, isn't it, as Answers in Genesis very rightly puts forth. So that was great. Let's look at these attributes. And this will be kind of quick. And that is good because time is passing. But let's look at holiness first. Holiness means being set apart. And usually when we are talking about it for the believer, holiness is being set apart for a particular purpose in God's, in living for God. So we know holiness, as far as God is concerned, and being set apart, God is clearly separate from his creation, right? And because God is holy, he must judge sin. Eternality. Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. When Moses said to God, when I say to the children of Israel, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said, I am who I am, which speaks of his being eternal. It speaks of him being sufficient unto himself. So we might understand that, realizing that God has no needs. God has no needs, okay? He is sufficient unto himself. And God has existed from eternity past through eternity future. If you have any questions about any of these, just, you know, let me know. Raise your hand, okay? Self-existence, which is what I just said. God has no needs. God does not know, rather, God does not owe his being to any other thing. Someone had phrased it this way, it's in the handout. God is the uncaused cause and the uncreated creator, okay? There was no cause before him because he is before all things. I hope this is helping as we move forward. Goodness, he is the source of goodness. He alone is the rule and measure of what we truly know to be good. And you know, anything on our parts, again, we will know when we see him face to face. Here, this side of heaven, we're not going to exhaust our study, but we can surely talk about this and want to dig deeper into Scripture, because that is our authority. Scripture is our authority. Okay? To say that God is good means that God always acts in accordance to what is right, true, and good, and even the flood, right? Even the flood. The fact that God is good means that he has no evil in him. And sometimes we hear comments even coming from believers that, you know, well, I don't know why God did that to me. Many times it's to me, you know. And who is God? That's why the study of the glory of God is so crucial. Grace. Grace justifies us before a holy God. Grace is God's favor toward the unworthy, the undeserving, and that be me, okay? Immanence with an A, God is near. Immutability means God never changes. Justice is a term for what is right. And justice flows out of God's holiness. And that's why when he deals with sin, we say God is just. And righteousness and justice are often used synonymously in the Bible. Okay, love. God is love, 1 John 4:8, agape love. Agape love is willful, I love this. Agape love is willful delight in the object of love. We are the objects of love. Willful delight. God expresses willful delight in us. And it's not merely that God loves, he is love. Everything that God does flows from his love. But it also, again, flows from all his attributes, okay? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And we deserve condemnation. But mercy, God's mercies are new every morning. There's a new start every morning. Aren't we thankful for that? Omnipotence, God is all-powerful. God has all power over all things at all times and in all ways, okay? Omnipresence, God is everywhere present in the fullness of his being. There's no place we can go and not be in his presence. And Psalm 139 is a wonderful verse, passage to read regarding the omnipresence of God. Omniscience, God is all-knowing. God does all that God knows all that there is to know. There's nothing that is outside the scope of his understanding or attention. God's grace, and I thought I had mentioned grace, is God's favor, yeah, I did, toward the unworthy and the undeserving. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve heaven, we don't. But God's grace has called us to himself, and he's promising us, he's giving us heaven. Sovereignty, he is independent of his creation. God is our absolute authority. Sovereignty is God's divine control over everything that happens. There is nothing outside the control of his loving hand. So sometimes, I mean, I had been given to saying, well, God allowed that. Well, God allowed that. You know what? God did that. God did that. You know, God has a purpose in everything that comes into our lives. Okay. And to end up, we're going to look at understanding God is infinite. God is limitless. He has no limitations. No matter which of the attributes of God you consider, think of it this way, that he possesses each attribute to an infinite degree. This blew me away, because God has infinite grace. There are no limits to his grace. God has infinite mercy. He has no limits to his mercy. And go on and on down the list that we just read. To such an infinite God, there rightly belongs an infinite, a limitless weight of glory. It's beyond what I can comprehend in my mind on this earth right now. But look at what God has promised us, and look at what God has revealed to us as to who he is. And as we go into this week, as we go into this day, you know, we could walk out of here and mumble and get angry or whatever. And let's come back to this short time that we had looking at his attributes today and say, God, I want to know you better. You know me completely. I want to know you better. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. God, we love you. Father, cause us to continue to marvel and stand in awe of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, Kat, one of your words you used here, obviously this list is like, wow. Who else? No one else.
Right.
But one time, about 25 years ago, Darryl, when he was senior pastor, he threw kind of a curveball at us during service, and he said, who has God never met?
Right.
Do you remember his answer?
No. And I should.
The answer was his equal.
His equal. Oh, yeah.
And with all of these words here describing that particular, entity, person, God, I don't even know what word you
see, mean. I know words fall flat, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It just
he never met his equal.
It just keeps playing in my head from the, like you said, 25 years ago.
Yeah. And King David, it's in 2 Samuel 7, said, there is no God like you. You know, and who has chosen Israel and Israel as a nation, etc., etc. But we can find those, that conversation that many of the people in the Bible had with God regarding that. And look at David. Did he get incensed at times? Oh my, yeah. But then God's mercy.
Mm-hmm. And the real miracle is that all of God was poured into Jesus Christ.
Well,
the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yeah, because there is the divine essence of God belongs equally to each of the three persons, God the Father, God the Son,
they
God the Holy
one
Spirit.
Essence.
They're all eternal. They're
one.
Inseparable.
One
okay,
God.
One God, yeah. We have to remember Deuteronomy 6:4. There is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Mm-hmm. But you can leave. No, thank you for being here. No, I'm only kidding. Now I have to remember to turn this off.